You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. And in the spirit of an enlightened future, TrekFan is absolutely free. Not just free to play, but completely free. Find out more by visiting fm.trekfan.org.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome. This is another episode of To The Journey. My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he is every single week, is the handsome and intelligent...
Aw, Tristan Riddell.
That was the cutest reaction ever. So, we are finally, and it feels like it has been a while, we are returning to our series for the Ultimate Season Marathon. We are now on Season 6.
That's right, we're doing a 5-episode marathon. It is not the best episodes, it's not our favorite episodes, it is the episodes that we think would make a great 5-episode marathon on a lazy Sunday afternoon.
Yes, and I tell you what, more Sunday afternoons than not, that is exactly what I am doing. I went in a slightly different direction for Season 6 than I have for previous marathons, and with that said, I'm curious to know what you have chosen. So, did you have a methodology at all, or a theme, or some sort of way to connect the dots for Season 6, or is it just completely random?
It's pretty much completely random, but my only methodology was really worrying about what you were going to pick. And then trying to do the opposite and then failing miserably because as I'm going through, I was like, oh, she's going to pick this one, but I have to pick this one. And so that was pretty much what happened.
That's okay. Feeling is mutual. The same thing happened in my neck of the woods. And I looked at certain episodes and thought, no, that's going to go on Tristan's list. Let's not have that many duplicates. So now I really got to know. Okay. What are you going to kick off your marathon with?
There's a lot of really fun episodes in Season 6. And when
yes,
I say fun, I mean lighthearted, fun-spirited, not always life or death. I mean, there's just a lot of kitschy, crazy episodes that it's not just the Borg. You know, it's not just somebody dying of a rampant disease. You know, like they're not flying into a wormhole and getting torn into a bunch of pieces. I mean, there's just so much fun going on. I can't use another word for it, but just fun. And so I thought I'd kick it off with one of the ultimate fun episodes, not just in Season 6, but in all of Voyager, and that's Tinker, Tenor, Doctor, Spy.
Okay, so goes our first duplicate, because actually this is my methodology for the Season 6 marathon, is fun and humor. There's a lot of great lighthearted episodes in Season 6, and I just thought, you know what? I want to laugh. And this is a great season to do that with. So it's on my list, but not first up. Let's talk about Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy.
Well, Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy has an absolute fantastic premise that you can really only get in Star Trek. But in Voyager, they put their own spin on it and they made it their own. And with the Doctor, he's experimenting with a daydream programming. And of course, because it's Star Trek, it goes awry. And really, I mean, the plot is completely secondary to this episode, because all it is and is an excuse to put the Voyager crew into some hijinks and weird situations and awkward, awkwardly funny situations.
Yes.
One such situation is where Janeway is pretending to have some back pain and then puts the Doctor's hands on her extreme lower back.
That's not her back. That's not her back at all. Yes.
Well, it's further than Coco ever got.
I think Coco was a little jealous of where the Doctor's hand ended up. That's for sure.
But yeah, there was, of course, you know, when the Doctor daydreams, because his ego is so incredibly large, imagines that every woman on Voyager is in love with him.
Yes, of course. Yes, then they are raging jealous at the fact that maybe any of the other ladies wants him too.
It's just a fantastic episode, and you can just turn this on, kick back, and then just laugh and have a great time, and that's why I chose this episode. Why'd you choose it?
I love what you said about them making this the Voyager spin of this kind of plot, because, yeah, it could have been on any other Star Trek show, and maybe we even have seen it before, but they made it unique to the series, and it's just a really fun, entertaining episode all around. I mean, of course, Bob Picardo is awesome. They give him some fantastic stuff to work with here, with the awkward stuff, the humor stuff. And then, of course, with the Doctor and his ego, as you mentioned. Oh, geez. What's not to love about this? Everybody kind of gets to cut loose and have a little bit of fun. And it's fun watching the cast enjoy themselves. I love it when they get to do that.
And it's the first time that we see the emergency command hologram.
Yeah, so again, what is not to love about that? I can't think of a thing. So this is a pretty solid lock, I think, on just about everybody's season 6 marathon list. Let's face it.
So since we had a duplicate on my first one, you got to give me an original choice for you.
Okay, well, I'll give you my first pick. How about kicking things off with riddles?
Really?
Yes, you're a fan of Tuvok. Now, what did you think about this episode where, honestly, he's not really himself? I mean, he's making desserts and he's enjoying himself.
Now, we did talk about this one briefly last week. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how, you know, this really helped the relationship between Neelix and between Tuvok. And I always forget about this episode. I really do. This is one that every single time it comes up, or whenever there's a reference made, I go, oh yeah, that's right, that episode exists. And it's not because I didn't like it. It's not because it's a bad episode, because it's not a bad episode at all.
Mm-mm,
I think it's really cool to see Neelix care for Tuvok. It's interesting to see a Vulcan lose his logic. I mean, it happens a lot in Star Trek, but it's always interesting to see. And I'd say that, like, that's my only gripe with it, is that it's not that it's poorly acted. It's just, I don't know if I agree with the direction that Tim Russ took.
Hmm. Okay. I don't really see that. I actually just see it as Tuvok. What would it be like if Tuvok wasn't that much of a Vulcan? Well, he's about as straight-laced Vulcan as they come, and so he's not going to be quite the same person as Spock or any of the other Vulcans that we've seen. This is a departure for him. And so even though by comparison it's still pretty mellow, I feel like it was fine the way it came out.
I guess my only gripe with it, and this is really the only thing, is that I felt like he took it a little bit too far on the childlike scenario, where that was my only thing, is that you can still lose your memory and still lose your logic and not act like you're 5.
I suppose that much is true, but then I kind of think, well, what would happen if I lost some of my marbles? What would I act like? Instead of acting like 12, like I normally do, it might be 5. It really might. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, you know, like, I'm not trying to criticize Tim Russ. It's not like I'm saying he's a bad actor. It's just I would have liked to have seen a different take on what that would have looked like for Tuvok if that happened to him.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, and you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that this one slips through the cracks for you, because a lot of times that happens for me, too. It was only when I was looking at the episode list that I thought, hey, you know what? That's a really good episode. Otherwise, it probably would not have come to mind. I hate to say it. It is a good episode, and it actually sheds some really great dynamic with Tuvok and Neelix and their relationship. But when I think of those two, for some reason, this is still one that doesn't come up. And I don't know if that's because there's more memorable episodes of season 6, or if it's just kind of in that middle of the series kind of humdrum where it's all sort of mixed together at this point. I don't know.
I don't know. I do not know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But I think it's a good episode that needs to get a little bit more recognition than it does.
I agree. Okay, well, that said, though, let's move on to round 2. And what is your pick?
My round two is, even though I said that this was a fun season and that it's filled with fun episodes, I felt like, you know, you can't have fun all the time, right? You know, it's it's not all candy and rainbow, Char. So I felt like...
You got to have your meat and potatoes, right?
You got to have your meat and potatoes. And what better episode for meat and potatoes than Barge of the Dead?
Okay. I knew you were going to pick this because it's a B'Elanna episode, and I'm so glad that you took it because you needed to have this in your marathon.
I stuck with it because I was like, Char's going to know I'm going to choose this episode, and so she's going to give it to me.
Yep.
And so thank you for letting me have this one.
Anytime, buddy.
What more can be said about this episode that we haven't said already? I mean, for our very loyal listeners, I apologize for going over and over and over it. But this is a great B'Elanna episode. This is a great character-driven mm-hmm. episode. This is a mystic episode, which I usually enjoy, where things can't really be explained by science. And even though they try, they can't figure it out. Makes me think of Hamlet, where he says it's like there's more in heaven and earth than what is dreamt of in our own philosophy. And this is very much one of those situations. And I always love it when there's a non-believer who is confronted by issues of faith. And mm-hmm. I love that dichotomy, and I love those questions that are asked. I thought it was great that we finally got to see B'Elanna's mom, because we got to meet her dad yes. in an episode, and now we finally get to meet her mom. I just thought it was cool to see Gray Thor, because we've heard it referenced a couple of times in Star Trek. And there's just so much to love about it, because Klingon episodes, on average, are some of the best Star Trek episodes. And they don't get to do them that often in Voyager because of their location. And it's just, you get to see some friction between Tom and B'Elanna. It's just, it's very well written, and it deserves to go on a marathon list.
Yeah. This is a very solid episode from season 6, and yep, I knew you'd put it on your list. I'm so glad you did. It needed to be on the show tonight, so I'm glad we can check that one off now.
So what's your round two?
Okay, round two, we're going to go to Pathfinder. I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit, not necessarily in chronological order here. I mean, Pathfinder, I feel, is very important to season 6 because this is a really important part of making contact with home. Plus, you get a nice little visit with Deanna Troi and Reg Barkley, and as we mentioned last week, his cat Neelix. And, you know, this is a very different kind of episode because it's taking place a lot in the Delta, or a lot in the Alpha Quadrant, and I like the change of pace. I find it refreshing. You know, they could have had anybody appear on the show for a little guest appearance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With all the crossover we talked about, they did get their share of Alpha Quadrant characters in. But Reg Barkley makes so much sense. And then the way, of course, he's dealing with the crew of Voyager as holodeck friends and whatnot. I mean, this could not be more well put together. I really thoroughly enjoy it.
This episode frightens me, and I'll let you know why.
Tell me.
Because I feel like every single Star Trek fan, every single hardcore Star Trek fan, can see themselves being lost like Barkley.
Oh.
And it, like, when he says, it's like, after all, you are my best friends, you know, and he's with the holographic Voyager crew.
Yeah.
He goes and he's like, you know, he's playing cards, he's hanging out in the mess hall, he's teaching B'Elanna a thing or two about engineering, and it's just... He's like, he's the guy, you know. It's kind of like, you know, when Norm walks in at Cheers, they're like, hey, oh, you know, like everybody knows your name. And who hasn't had that fantasy where they walk in on the bridge of the Enterprise D, or the promenade of Deep Space Nine, or the mess hall of Voyager, and everybody says, hey, Char, hey, Tristan, how's it going? You know, when are we going to play handball? You're like, when are you going to come over and finish that game of Kataskot with me? You know, just things like that. Mm-hmm. And if I had this technology, I maybe would leave to go get food. Maybe.
Maybe. Only if you really had to.
Yeah. And I love this episode because it's so important to the mythos, like you said before. Like, it starts off a journey, another journey of them, mm-hmm. us knowing that the Alpha Quadrant is tracking them. And one little thing that I really liked about it is just this little attention to detail is that when we saw the holographic representations, of the Maquis crew there mm-hmm. in the last known outfits and how they looked yes. like from Caretaker, because that's the last file that they would have on them.
Right. Yeah, that was very accurate as far as their interpretation could go. I mean, they don't know what's going on with Voyager. Not yeah. really. Not at this point. They're going to find out, but it's, yeah. I don't know. It's so much fun.
And also, this episode gave us, oh, man, that really, really touching moment where Admiral Paris and Janeway speak for the first time.
Yes, that's right.
Towards the end. And she's just saying, you know, like he's like, how are you people holding up? And she goes, they're an exemplary crew, your son included. And you're just like, oh, God. Oh, God. How the father-son feels.
Those Kodak heartwarming moments. I mean, yeah, that was definitely a big turning point for Voyager. Big time.
Yeah, it was just, it was a fantastic moment. And even though this didn't make it on my marathon, I'm glad that it made it on yours.
Cool. Well, now that you mentioned the whole thing about how if we had access to being friends with the Voyager crew and how likely it is that we would do that, okay, maybe that is a little scary, but you know what? The real world sucks sometimes. I could see why holo addiction could be a thing really easily.
Yeah, very easily.
All right. Well, what is your next pick?
My next pick is Tsunkate.
Okay. This almost made my list, and then I ended up cutting it out, so I'm glad it made yours. Why this one?
Tsunkate, for some reason, it holds a special place in my heart, and I don't quite know. I feel like the promotion for it stuck with me because, you know, like, The Rock was huge when this came out. I mean, he still is, but he was at the height of his wrestling career, and he was just getting into acting, and so UPN was trying to bank on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was an epic UPN crossover. Oh boy, did they pimp it.
This was around the time when I took Star Trek to a new level. TNG and Deep Space Nine, it was a part of my bones, you know, like it was something that I loved and something that I was obsessed with. But for some reason, when Voyager came in, specifically towards season six, I was old enough to read a lot of material. I got my encyclopedia around that time, my Star Trek encyclopedia, and I was designing my own ships. I was drawing about Star Trek. I was writing about Star Trek. I was getting comic books. I was just going online and just getting as much material as I could. It was, for some reason, Tsunkate is what is linked in my brain as kicking that real obsession off. And so that's why I chose this episode. Like, not so much that this is that great of an episode. It was just pure candy. It's just absolute candy, pretty lights, colors. And you could see Seven of Nine do that whole Achilles from Troy thing where she runs along the side and jumps up and hits him in the face.
This is true. Yeah, you know, at the time, I was not a big fan of this episode at all. I just thought it was totally overblown. UPN was making a big deal out of nothing. And, oh boy, The Rock, he's going to be an actor now. Oh, goody. But you know what? Several years later, I've come to appreciate this episode a lot more. It is fun. And even though we mention needing meat and potatoes every now and then, sometimes you just want a snack. And this is candy. Yes, it is. And sometimes that is enough. And that's all you want.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And let's face it, it's a fun episode. It's kind of a goofy episode a little bit, but the premise is believable enough. I mean, it's sci-fi. They sci-fied it up. Yeah. Yeah. That's why that almost made my list as well. It's not a perfect episode, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah, I think that's the main term that we should use for this episode. It's entertaining.
Yeah, okay. On space pay-per-view.
All right, what's your next pick?
Okay, my next pick is The Voyager Conspiracy.
I was wondering if you were going to pick this one. I have to admit that I didn't think that you'd pick this one. Tell me why you wanted this one.
Okay, well, you know what's interesting is I was actually debating between this one and Tsunkate, but Voyager Conspiracy has a little more meat to its story. It's a little more involved. It's not a funny episode. I mean, it's got definitely its serious tones to it, but it does have just a little bit of humor thrown in as well. And I like the whole banter with Janeway and Chakotay. You know, did you poison the coffee? Oh, not any more than I usually do. And they both sip it, and life is good. you know, I thought it was kind of interesting how Seven compiled all this information into her little brain and started making all these strange connections. You know, the first time when I saw this, I almost believed it. Like, you know, maybe she is onto something, but you know what? No, of course not. This is what conspiracy theorists do all the time. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a ripped from the headlines kind of a thing.
Conspiracy theories are a lot of fun. I usually, 99% of the time, don't buy into them, but I always think they're fun to analyze, think about, dissect. And even sure. though I don't add a lot of credence to them, I find the process very interesting. I love a good conspiracy movie, TV show, you know, article, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was fun to see in Voyager, especially when it's Federation versus Maquis, which is a concept we haven't had for a very long time on the show.
That's true. And this was actually a brilliant way to bring that up one more time. Every once in a while, they remember this on Voyager and then actually do something kind of cool with it. And I think this episode fits that bill.
Absolutely.
All right. What's your next pick?
My next pick is another meat and potatoes episode, but still has some fun stuff in it. And that is Blink of an Eye.
Okay, another one I considered and did not put on the list. Wow, we're really, we're reading each other's mind here. This is a little scary.
Yeah, this one is, I thought you'd give to me, but I really honestly thought that you'd put that on there. Blink of an Eye is a real gem of an episode because the Voyager crew gets trapped in a space-time wake or whatever you want to call it. They see this birth and rise of a civilization. Because they're trapped into this gravimetric wake or whatever you want to call it, they cause the planet to have earthquakes and thus become a part of their culture. And this episode is probably one of the best episodes to illustrate why the Prime Directive exists. And I don't think we've seen any captain or any crew affect a culture quite like this. And I think that's why I like it the most is because it shows a pre-warp civilization, pre-pre-warp civilization.
Yeah.
All the way up into a civilization that surpasses the Federation. And how the Voyager crew affected that one little planet in the Delta Quadrant.
And didn't even mean to.
And they didn't even mean to. Yeah, that's the thing, is that when you are traveling through space, when you're trying to meet new people, whether you want to or not, you're going to leave your mark on the space you travel within.
Definitely. And this episode shows that so incredibly well. And yeah, I agree. I think it is a good example of why the Prime Directive is in place, why it's a good thing, because you just don't know what sort of consequences your actions are going to have, intentional or not.
Yeah.
And you can be as careful as you want and things will still happen, just like they did in this episode. Plus, it is interesting watching the civilization evolve and parallels between our own evolution and theirs, that sort of thing. It's a great episode.
And also that segment where the Doctor lives on this planet for a period of time, and then he comes back knowing so much about the culture. I wish we could have had a novel that shows us that span of time. I think that would have been really interesting.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. Especially, I mean, he even had a family down there.
And I'd love to know how he did it, how exactly he did it. I'd love to know the games that he would go to, how he met his wife, or, you know, everything. I want to know about that stuff.
This would make a great novella.
All right. So what is your last pick for your marathon?
I'm risking you picking this one. Let's see. Virtuoso.
I did not pick this one.
Okay. Well, just like a lot of the later Voyager seasons, season 6 has some fantastic, strong Doctor episodes. And this is, of course, the one where he becomes a fantastic opera singer and almost leaves behind the crew of Voyager to hit the stage every night.
That's right. And this one is also one of those fun ones where no one's going to die. Civilization is not going to be destroyed. And it's, you know, it's fun, it's lighthearted, but at the same time, some feelings are hurt, some decisions that have to be made, and so it's character-driven instead of plot-driven. And for that, I appreciate it.
Me too. Plus, there are those annoying aliens who don't understand music whatsoever. And, you know, I kind of love to hate those guys.
That's why it's not on my list, because I honestly cannot stand those people.
They are this close to unbearable for me, but I will watch this episode just to watch the Doctor shine and be a little bit of a jerk and then realize he was a jerk and have to make amends.
We do get the most singing out of him in this episode, which is quite fun because Picardo has a fantastic voice.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. He definitely made that push to give voice talent one of the Doctor's expanding traits in his vast programming. And I'm so glad he did it.
We also have the introduction of Harry Kim and the Kim Tones.
This is correct. Yes, yes, I'd even forgotten about that when I picked this episode. That makes it even better.
Yes.
Yes. Side note, just a strange offhand comment. Apparently Garrett Wong learned to play the clarinet for Voyager, has not played since.
I believe it.
He said on Twitter he totally forgot how to play. He couldn't play now if he tried. And he did it just for Voyager.
And what's that piece called that he created? Well, I mean, you know, Harry Kim created. It's called Echoes of the Void, I think.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's that was actually beautiful... quite a good piece of music, yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, sad song that I'd want to listen to on a rainy day.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling lonely. Much as Harry does a lot of times on Voyager. Anyway, okay, let's jump over to your last pick for your marathon. So how are you going to end this thing?
Well, I'm really surprised that you didn't guess what my last episode would be in this marathon. Mm. And what season 6 marathon would it be if we didn't round it out with one of the greatest Star Trek episodes ever made? And that would be Fairhaven.
I knew this was coming, and well, yeah.
You have Katie O'Clair and Michael Sullivan. Uh-huh. Slam dunk Star Trek Voyager. That's right. You have me wrapped up in a blanket of joy surrounded by Irish fog. That's what you have. For the fans of the show, you know I love this episode, and I could not care less what you guys say against this episode. This is an amazing episode. Okay, just think about it. Just think about it. The Doctor is a priest, okay?
Yeah.
That alone is enough to end the episode debate and say that's a fantastic episode.
That's like saying Spirit Folk is worth watching because Harry kisses a cow.
Well, there you go. Sounds good enough to me.
I'm sorry, you can watch that 15-second clip on YouTube and call it good and spare yourself the rest of the agony that is that episode.
But we're not talking about Spirit Folk now, are we? We're talking about Fairhaven.
No, we're not. We're talking Fairhaven, and I know you love it, and so I'm not going to criticize it. I'm going to let the listeners do that. If you want to write in and tell Tristan what you think about Fairhaven, go to trek.fm/contact, and let's have a nice, friendly, and civil debate. Okay, that said, I'm not as nearly as big of a fan of this as you are. I know you love this story. You think it's fantastic. It's got some great messages and meanings. I just don't dig it. So, yeah, it did not make my list, obviously.
If I ever became a musician, one of my albums would be called The Ox and the Lamb. Let's just leave it at that.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, we already picked my last pick. I'm going to cap off my marathon with Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy. I wanted to go out with a bang. It doesn't get any better than that. And so that is how I would end season 6.
I think that's a good season 6 marathon on both sides. And you people at home, feel free to take our lists and live them, because we already have.
Or let us know what would make your list or what would not, and let's go to the forums and talk about it. Trek.fm/forums. But marathons aren't the only thing that we're talking about here on Trek FM this week, so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They're not going to just do something crazy and be like, what if we did Star Trek, but on Earth? What if we did Star Trek, but, you know, with more explosions or whatever? Wouldn't that be cool? And giant robots.
Earl Grey.
Between a combination of Riker's beard and the spandex, you could pretty much identify what season you were watching just by those two markers alone. No beard Riker? Must be season 1. Pinstriping in the background, but Riker has a beard? Must be season 2.
The Ready Room.
The Prime Directive. is there, and all these captains are constantly having to break it because it's obviously such a rigid rule.
Right.
And you can't tell a story with such rigid rules. So you go back to, yeah, it's television, it's drama.
The Orb.
It's never clear, like, is Costa Mojan, is that the name of a person from long ago, or is it the name of a group of people? And so you're saying that in the prophet's language, Costa Mojan is the name of the paw race.
Right, that's what they call the paw race.
To the journey! Think about how horrible it would be perceived by the audience to see Neelix beaten up ruthlessly.
Some people would really enjoy that.
That's true. I'm talking about normal people with hearts and souls. Okay, so those people. Commentary, Trek stars.
This means that really now, sort of, the three of us are responsible for really getting the movie to what it's going to be. And there's a feeling, okay, what the movie we write is the movie that's going to get made, which is a really cool feeling, actually.
Warp 5.
You know, Spock and Tuvok are two Vulcans. And so I feel like if you brought 10 more into the room, to say that they're all going to be the same is really a boring race. It's, even right. if they're logical, they shouldn't have the same personalities.
Melodic Treks.
But when J.J. Abrams came on, he was like, just in like casual
T-shirt and jeans.
T-shirt and, yeah. And because he'd just come from the set of
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Continuing mission.
And there's this moment where you pass into it, and you're not only on a TV set, you're on a TV set that is a recreation of the Enterprise. And then that goes away, and then you're on the Enterprise.
Literary Treks.
This is what I expect from the ongoing comics. This is kind of what I think we wanted, is just to have this crew start to feel like the original series in some ways.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
To check out all of our shows, we're available on any imaginable platform. Go to trek.fm/pd for the podcast directory so you can access everything, or do what I do and subscribe to our master feed where you'll get every single Trek FM podcast that comes out as it comes out. So we've got a little bit of a promotion going on here on Trek FM through the rest of July, and this is a way to help us out. If you have not written us an iTunes review or a Stitcher review, or if you haven't reviewed the master feed, you have a chance to not only help us out, but to win some prizes in doing so. So here's the deal. You go to iTunes or Stitcher, write us a review, and then go to trek.fm/review and complete the form there to let us know your screen name, who you are, so that we know who wrote what. There's some great prizes that you become eligible for, like a Blu-ray or a DVD of your choice. There's Star Trek novels, all sorts of fun stuff. So if you haven't written us a review, now is the time. We have some people to thank because we have several iTunes reviews going on here.
And we always keep our promises, and when you give us a 5-star review, you get mentioned on the podcast, and we'd like to give you a personal thank you. A lot of you have given us some great, kind words and given us some great feedback, and we absolutely appreciate it. And so we'd like to thank Phasers to Wellesby,
TNG Fan,
Trey 34,
Section 47,
Crispy Crunchy,
and TB Grace,
and JDeuce 452.
Those last two were in Canada. The rest of you were in the U.S. Thank you so much for writing reviews, giving us 5 stars, spreading the love, warming our hearts. And this show would not be possible without the help of our sponsors, so let's hear about them.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. And also Trek Fan. A great way for you to take your love of Star Trek and put it into action. At TrekFan, you will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. Challenges include communications, engineering, and flight operations. There's internet relay chat, free books through Starfleet Academy, and much more. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Not just free to play, but completely free. Find out more by visiting fm.trekfan.org. Again, that's fm.trekfan.org. And remember to use this special URL so they know you heard about it here on To The Journey and Trek.fm.
All right, now next week, what have we got going on?
What we're doing next week is we're doing a commentary on an episode that has a bit of a controversy, at least in one small little aspect, and that is between two of our favorite characters, B'Elanna and Chakotay, and that episode is Persistence of Vision. So tune in next week to find out what exactly we're talking about, but you'll have to wait and see.
So until then, everybody, this has been To The Journey.
To the journey!